This is DZPN, the Drunken Zombie Podcasting Network.
Welcome to Lights Out, the podcast for paranormal stories. I'm your host, Sylvia Schultz. Certain places seem to attract paranormal activity. Schools and theaters are notorious for attracting spirits, probably because of their high levels of everyday energy. There is another group of buildings that tends to be quite active supernaturally. Prisons, asylums, and sanitariums are places where, in life, people are held without being allowed to leave. In death, these ties seem to intensify. Grab your visitor's pass, check in at the front desk, and let's go. Lights out. I had the chance to chat with Claire Cordes when we were both visiting my favorite asylum, the Peoria State Hospital. The subject of sanitariums came up, and Claire shared with me his experiences at a very famous institution, the notorious Waverly Hills. So, we were talking about Waverly. You're going to go to Waverly next weekend for the sixth time?
For the sixth time.
Yeah.
The first time I went there, it was a public tour, and everyone made so much noise, shuffling their feet and talking and posting pictures on Facebook and things like that. I thought to myself after that, I've got to get this place to myself. And so I've been doing that ever since.
Cool.
Yeah. So I like to go with a small team of people, maybe four or five. We'll walk the halls or split up. Splitting up seems to get the most results there.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, but like I was saying, something unique happens every time I go there. I will never tell anyone that I saw or heard a ghost. What I will tell them is that I encountered something that I have absolutely no explanation for. When sitting in the hallway on the third floor in particular is active. I think the year before last, I was told the staff referred to it as the lion's den. They said never send anyone up there alone because it'll get them. So to me, that's a challenge. That's just an invitation. But a group of us were sitting in the hallway, and we saw from two of the rear rooms in the building. So there's no headlight contamination, flashlight, airplanes, or anything like that. This purple glow emanating from two of these rooms, and it would get brighter, and then it would start to diminish. I tried to capture it on night shot, but night vision, the infrared, doesn't really get that particular spectrum, I guess.
Sure.
But we were all just stunned and amazed. We got up and looked around and tried everything we possibly could to figure it out. There are other sounds that we've heard, the aroma of soap powder flakes, the old laundry soap flakes.
Yeah.
Just coming out of nowhere at the same time, we'd feel something brushing on our legs. Waverly was the first time I've ever encountered a wave of full body chills, one after another after another. It was, once I got over the original, not shock, but it's a little uncomfortable.
Disconcerting.
Because you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But There was another time when I was walking on the third floor, just not really provoking, but just doing a little challenging. Mm-hmm. And I had gone down the length of the hall and was coming back, and I made a remark something like, well, I guess there's nothing up here. It was all just a big hoax. And as I passed a doorway on my left, there were two people standing behind me. As I passed the doorway, it sounded like something shrieked in my ear. It sounded like let's see if I can imitate it. And so I'm carrying the camera and I reacted. You see the reaction, but it didn't pick up on audio.
Oh.
But the people behind me heard it. And in fact, they waited until after we were done that night. They didn't want to freak me out, but they said they saw kind of a skeletal shadow emerge from the floor. They heard it and saw my reaction. It went around me and then went down the hall.
Wow.
So that was freaky. We've heard all sorts of sounds and things, just unexplainable things there.
Man.
So, I mean, I've been to locations where it's just been dead quiet, and it's, you know, that can be expected too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a stage show.
Right.
You know, but Waverly Hills is truly an incredible place. I even photographed I'm not really sure what it was. I call it a shadow figure. Mm-hmm. I'll try to find it on my phone for you, but very, very unusual shape.
Okay.
It appeared to be in motion, actually.
Wow.
So when I go into these places, I like to straggle behind and let other people walk. Mm-hmm. So I was alone in the hallway. As I was walking, it felt like someone was walking up behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And so my feeling was, my reaction was to just kind of turn to the side and let whoever that was. I thought it was maybe one of the staff or whatever.
Sure.
There was nothing there. And so I held up my camera and I took about four or five shots in succession. All of them were normal except for one. And there was this black figure. You could definitely see the legs. You could see the left arm. But the head was missing.
Oh.
So, I mean, I posted it to the Waverly Hills Facebook page. A lot of people, you know, rebuked it and contested it and said, oh, it's just contamination. Mm. I know what I saw, and I know that there was no one in the hallway but me.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to going back. Last year I was there, we were on the top floor. It was very still like this. Was no winds or anything like that. We had three rubber balls with mag lights behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all just sitting there just asking questions. And we wanted to see if the balls would move, but we wanted to see if the flashlights would react too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not completely big with the flashlight sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them work, but then I've seen them fail. So, at least with the lights behind the balls, we were able to see the balls move. And I recorded on my night shot camera. You see two of the balls just kind of moving a little. The first one took off, started rolling about 5 feet, stopped, and then changed directions and rolled a few feet the other way. And I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. But you could hear the collective oohs and ahs, you know, from the group. And it was really kind of stunning at first. It's hard not to get all excited and start screaming and yelling, but there were five of us who saw that ball move, stop, and then move in another direction.
Wow. That's cool.
So who knows what we're going to encounter this time, but every time it's different. Every single time it's different.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, sure, you're welcome.
Today's podcast of Lights Out is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/DZPN. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Jamie Davis is the author of a wonderful book called Haunted Asylums, Prisons, and Sanitariums, a wealth of material for anyone interested in these spooky, abandoned places. Jamie writes in a loose, relaxed style, sharing the experiences she's had in these buildings. I spoke with Jamie, hoping to get the storyteller to share a few tales with me. Jamie Davis is the author of Haunted Asylums, Prisons, and Sanatoriums. Jamie, how did you get interested in this subject?
I think the interest in the paranormal started when I was probably about 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as ghost hunting, I really didn't even know it was a real thing until Ghost Hunters aired. And I definitely didn't know that it was something that the public could do. As far as many of the locations that they feature, they don't tell you when they're airing the episodes, hey, Rolling Hills Asylum, you know, you can actually buy a ticket and go on your own ghost hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So once I figured that out and had an experience up there, I was hooked.
Well, tell us about that first experience.
I went up there with my boyfriend at the time, who wound up being my co-author, Sam Queen, and we experienced shadows just coming at us in the hallway, and we didn't talk about it at the time. We both just assumed that the dark was playing tricks with our eyes, or that it was just fear. But after we left, and I can't remember if we made it all the way home from New York or if it was the hotel later that night, but we talked about it and just, you know, confirmed to each other that, yeah, we think it was real, and we really did have these experiences.
Wow. So why haunted asylums? Why did you choose to write an entire book on asylums and prisons and sanatoriums?
Why did I do that? I think those were the venues probably that were widely available as being open to the public.
Oh, okay.
And accessible. So it was sort of more of a ghost hunting guidebook in my mind, really more than anything.
Yeah, I've read the book and it's really a lot of fun. You write like your audience is just right there in the room with you. It's just really conversational, beautiful, laid-back kind of book to read, and it's really a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, what has been your favorite place to explore? And I know you haven't been to the Peoria State Hospital, so I'll forgive you for not saying that.
I know. That has been on my list for a long time.
Oh, it's brilliant. You must let me be your native guide when you come.
Absolutely, Bill.
Okay, so besides Peoria State Hospital, what's been your favorite place to explore?
Probably the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. Simply because of the size of it and how they've kept up a museum and the lobby and the tours that they do, and I just feel that it's just a comprehensive attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the idea of having a museum there. That's, I think it's important for people to learn about these places and about the people who were remanded to the places.
Yeah, and they do a very good job over there of, as far as the medical history and treatment of the patients, portraying it in a very respectful and realistic way, and they even have an art museum for where they highlight the works that the former patients completed while it's a fascinating place.
Oh, that's wonderful. We've talked about that at Peoria State Hospital, but we don't have any patient artwork. We have photographs of their artwork, but we don't yet have any actual patient artwork, so I am that would be really wonderful to actually see that.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. So, tell me stories about the places that you visited. Has there been any time that you've just been really terrified?
Yeah, there was. It didn't happen until about halfway through the project. in Yorktown, Texas, the old Yorktown Hospital. And this was a facility that it's not technically open to the public, but the owner is very receptive to people. If you contact him and, you know, have a website and seem like, you know, you're not a mad person, crazy, he'll, you know, consider allowing access into the place. And he did a deeply discounted price for us. Cool. We were able to go in, just the two of us, to this place. And if it had not been located on a main highway, you know, if it had been out in the middle of nowhere, I don't know that I would have lasted as long as I did, which was only a couple of hours after dark, actually.
Oh, my.
We'd gone through the whole entire building in the light of day so I could get my bearings and all of that. Mm-hmm. And when it started to get dark, we started kind of doing the rounds once again, and everything was, you know, okay for a little while. But we got up to the third floor, and we started having an interaction with something with flashlights, where we think we're having conversations with, you know, somebody, and they're using the flashlight to light up in response to questions.
Sure, yeah.
And it just felt wrong. Mm. It felt like something was trying to get us engaged in an interaction, you know, because it was a child or something. And that just was the creepiest that I'd ever felt, you know. And I shut it down, and we left. And when we left, I forgot to say my little speech that I always try to remember to say, which is basically, you know, you can't come with us. You have to stay here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with a prayer of some sort, usually. And when we got back to Atlanta, I had a terrible nightmare and woke up in the middle of the night and thought something was just in my face. And I was by myself at my house. All of my lights were on. Mm. I know I didn't go to bed with all my lights on.
Oh.
And, it just really left me unsettled.
Oh, yeah.
That experience.
Oh, man. That does sound creepy.
Yeah.
So, what sort of place do you most enjoy going to? An actual hospital, or a mental asylum, or a prison? Do you have a preference?
I think probably the asylums, just for the architecture of them.
I was not expecting that answer. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think they're the most interesting to explore, just because of the setup and how they look from the outside.
Huh. And have you ever been able to explore the cemeteries along with these asylums on the asylum grounds?
I haven't. Okay. I have not seen one historic cemetery from any of these places, unfortunately.
Huh. Do the owners just not want you going in, or why haven't you been able to get in?
I'm not really sure what the scoop on that is. I don't think that it's really encouraged for any of these. I mean, the Trans-Allegheny, the tour that I went on during the daytime, I went on the Civil War tour.
Ooh.
And the cemeteries aren't even mentioned, and candidly, I forgot to even ask.
Huh.
But I don't think it's something that they really promote.
For you, yes you, the listeners of the Lights Out podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Free audiobooks include such titles as The Top 10 Things Dead People Want to Tell You by Mike Dooley, Death by Black Hole and Other Cosmic Quandaries by Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Spook, Science Tackles the Afterlife by Mary Roach. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/DZPN. Again, that's audibletrial.com/DZPN for your free audiobook.
So, tell us more about the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. You mentioned a Civil War tour. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the docent takes you through the oldest part of the building, and that's just very interesting because they do have some old artifacts throughout that wing, and they're dressed in full period clothes. And I don't know, there's just a lot of activity, and you can feel that the building still feels heavy.
Mm.
I guess is how to explain it.
So were there patients there during the Civil War, or was it used as a field hospital or something,
it was a state hospital there during
okay.
that time.
Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to get a handle on what the asylum population was during the Civil War.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, do you have any other interesting stories that you want to share with us to get people interested in reading the book?
in Trans-Allegheny, we just picked a random isolation cell to go into.
Oh.
And started talking, trying to get something to happen, and got some flashlight video, and it seemed like we had made contact with one of the Civil War soldiers in the area. And during the middle of the session, a rock got thrown at me.
Oh, man.
Out of nowhere. And that's the only time that anything like that has ever happened to me. And it wasn't scary. I think he just was trying to communicate with us. But it couldn't have fallen from the ceiling. And the whole area, I mean, it just was a small isolation cell, so it wasn't somebody down the hall throwing something.
Mm.
So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Sam got himself cussed out by a ghost.
Oh,
in Mansfield.
Really? Tell us about that.
It's just funny in the prisons. It seems like they were more receptive to talking with me rather than Sam.
Huh.
Yeah, and it sounds like he got an EVP response, basically, that told him to go F himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever get it? Did you have pleasant conversation? Well, as pleasant as you can have with the ghost of a prisoner. Did you experience anything nasty like that, or do you think that they were more respectful of you because you were a female?
I've never experienced anything nasty at all. It just was
wow.
Sam.
Oh, that's good. I mean,
it is surprising.
Yeah, that is surprising to me because I've always believed that, you know, if somebody was nice in during their lifetime, they'll be pleasant when they're a spirit, and if they were a jerk or violent during their lifetime, there's a good chance that they're going to be a violent or a jerk on the other side. So that really, I'm glad that they were that you didn't run into anything nasty.
Yeah, I didn't feel any kind of menacing presence in any of the three prisons that we went to. But Sam did get some, you know, EVPs cussing at them, both at Mansfield and I think West Virginia Penn.
Wow.
Probably the coolest thing that we saw was I saw an actual shadow person at the very end. During the whole time of writing this book, I never actually saw anything until we got to the Missouri Penn. Mm-hmm. And on death row, I saw just a big barrel-chested shadow person walk from one end of the hallway and stand right next to Sam. And I was inside the cell, and it was, you know, dark.
Yeah.
So I can see Sam outside looking at me, and then just this figure just walks right up next to Sam and kind of pokes his head in like he's trying to see what we're up to.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That sounds creepy.
It probably would have been if I would have had long enough to register what was going on. It was like as soon as I realized what I was seeing, I just instinctively raised my flashlight up, I guess being an amateur. And of course, I mean, he was gone.
Mm.
But that was the coolest thing I saw, probably.
Mm. Wow. That is amazing. So, what are you working on these days?
I am working on my second project with Llewellyn, and the working title is Haunted Hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And I have gone to the Myrtles in Louisiana.
Ooh.
1886 Crescent in Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Jerome Grand out in Jerome, Arizona. And the Copper Queen in Bisbee so far.
Cool.
And actually still trying to scout and find some locations.
Alrighty. Very cool. Ashmore Estates in Illinois is another place that stands abandoned on the prairie, inhabited only by ghosts. The Coles County Poor Farm served the indigent and mentally ill of the area, beginning in 1857. The beautiful brick building that stands today was built in 1916 and operated until 1959, when it became a private psychiatric care facility. Ashmore Estates closed in 1987 and was abandoned until 2006, when the owner opened it as a haunted house attraction. The building sits exposed on the prairie of central Illinois and has fallen prey to a couple of storms. In January 2013, the building was pummeled by winds reaching 80 to 100 miles an hour. The roof was blown off and gables were destroyed. The building was thought to be damaged beyond repair, but the paranormal community pulled together with fundraisers and hard work. Robin Terry bought the building in 2014. In 2015, another storm did heavy damage to the building. But again, with the help of dedicated volunteers, the building was cleaned up once more. The volunteers love this place so much because it is extremely haunted. Ashmore Estates is open to paranormal investigation groups and has been featured on both Ghost Adventures and on Ghost Hunters. David Lowry, also known as the Paranormal Highwayman, is a caretaker in residence at Ashmore Estates. As he lives on the property, he has had plenty of opportunities to witness firsthand the ghostly shenanigans that make the building so active. I caught up with David in a phone call and begged him to share some of his experiences with me. So, speaking of believing in ghosts, please tell me stories about Ashmore.
Oh, Ashmore, what a great place. I was preparing for my Route 66 trip and everything like that, and I just became so enamored with the place that my friend Robin Terry bought it that I had to help and I had to be there.
Yeah.
And so I moved over there to be the caretaker, and I am the paranormal host. If you book an investigation in Ashmore, you will have me as a host. And it's full of just really, I think, great spirits. They're really... It really seemed like decent people and just have had, you know, various troubles in life.
Yeah.
But really, of course, the boys from TV found something evil in there, but we have a janitor who's not a very nice person and tends to say bad words and things occasionally and tell you to get out, but we got it all cleaned out now and just used it for paranormal investigations.
Oh, wonderful.
Certainly the creepiest thing, the story you mentioned, the creepiest thing that's ever happened to me. And I've been doing this for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot to really creep me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was cleaning up under the stairs on the new addition of the building one day, and they're freestanding stairs. They have this deep kind of well back in underneath them. You can go back in a little dark, quiet area back in there. And as I was sleeping, a female voice, like she was standing right next to me, a disembodied voice said, "For fun, I like to hide under here." It shook me up. I had to finish my sweeping rather quickly, and I had to go out and sit down for a while. It really shook me up pretty bad. You get one word, disembodied voices, or one or two, you know, three words, and we have a whole sentence. That clear? Yeah, okay. That's
wow.
One of the things that convinced me even more.
Oh, man. I really don't know what I would have done in that situation.
Oh, I know. It really took me aback.
I think there probably would have been a little bit of pee involved.
Yeah, definitely. For my stage presentation, I asked the crowd what they think the most important piece of equipment to carry along with you is, and then get these various answers, and then I'll pull out a Kungur underwear. This is it right here, guys.
Yeah.
I appreciate this when you need it.
Oh, man.
Ashmore Estates is a magnificent old building, and restoration work continues on it. Paranormal groups are welcome to explore the building, and the donation aids in bringing this beautiful lady back to life and preserving her for many years to come. For more information, please visit Robin and Norma Terry at hauntedashmoreestates.net. Do be sure to check out Haunted Asylums, Prisons, and Sanitariums by Jamie Davis, and look for her upcoming book on haunted hotels. Speaking of upcoming books, I'll be doing a show soon to promote my newest, Hunting Demons, published by Whitechapel Press. This book actually has two parts to it. The first part is a look at demons and the demonic throughout history and in science, music, and advertising. The second part, well, the second part gets personal. A fellow ghost hunter came to me with a tale of demonic oppression. She had run afoul of three evil entities during her ghost hunting, and they attached themselves to her firmly. Her story is told in Hunting Demons. So stay tuned for Linda's story in a future episode of Lights Out. And join us next time when we take a tour of the Tinker Swiss Cottage in Rockford, Illinois. Until then, pull the covers up over your heads, because we're going lights out.